Hello, and welcome to the Spooky Chris Podcast. My name is Chris Ringler. I am your aforementioned Spooky Chris. Welcome. This episode, it's going to be another fun peek behind the curtains of a film in progress. A few episodes back, I was able to have director Layla Bird Revolt and producer Peace McAllister on to talk about their new film, Bloodsuckers of Bushwick. And this time around, I'm going to have a couple of the actors on board to talk about the film. And I'm really excited. I'm going to have Kate Anderson Song, who is an actor in the film and also a producer on it. She is a New York City-based, Massachusetts-raised performer, visual artist, writer, and producer. She graduated from NYU Tisch, where she studied drama and cinema studies. She now wanders the city, auditioning and exploring, always with a tea or coffee in hand. You can find visual art, music, and writing at thekatepages.com or her Instagram at thekatepages. That's the K number 8 pages. And you can find more about her on her website, kateandersonsong.com, or Instagram at kateandersonsong. And that's, again, K, the number 8, then Anderson Song. We're also going to have actor David A. Guster on. David's journey as a performer began at the Flint Youth Theater and continued through his training at the University of Michigan Flint. Along the way, he's had the privilege of working on projects like the feature film Block Party, and he was in a regional Meyer commercial. And I'm really excited to have them both on here. I think it's really fun to be able to kind of boots on the ground, be able to talk to people that are they're in a project that's in the middle of being created. I think that's awesome, and I really look forward to this. Stay tuned, and I think you will enjoy what you're going to hear. Thanks. Thank you both for joining me today. It is an honor to speak to you both. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah, so good. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I'm going to start with some questions just about you guys before we jump into talk about the movie. When did you first both kind of know you liked performing in front of others?
Jay, do you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, I grew up in a very creative family who really encouraged from a young age. Like, I was putting shows on in my living room. I was playing and singing music very young. And so I think it was very built in to how I grew up that I was like, oh, I like this. This is very fun. And then I was really lucky to have a really great community theater scene and children's theater classes around me. And so there was a really big group of kids around me who liked performing. So yeah, I would say as young as like 4 and 5, it was very clear to me that I was like, this is so much fun. I would like to do this as long as I can.
Awesome. What about you, David?
Yeah, it took me a little minute. Honestly, I tried to play sports. I was really bad at it. And I thought, like, you know, still, what a performance I could give playing these sports. And I just, yeah, no, I couldn't do it. And then I think around 9, my mom had signed me and my sister both up for, like, drama classes. And, yeah, even then, I was like, I'm not really sure. And then I think around 12, I had, like, auditioned at, like, the local youth theater. And, like, made the play. We did Peter Pan. I was one of the Lost Boys. And that was the start. I don't think I, like, gave up on doing that, you know, for forever. For right now, at least. Excuse me. But what I got going on, I just never thought, like, after that moment that I would be doing anything else. So, yeah, it's been a minute now.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, did you guys kind of fall in love with like, performing and stuff through theater then, or kind of had you ever thought about being in movies, or was it always kind of you liked it to doing live performance in theater?
I think I wanted to be like a Disney kid really bad when I was
yes
little.
yes
I would make my parents take me to these like open calls, like at the local like hotel lobby, and You say one line like, "Oh, I love Coca-Cola. It's the best co it's the best soda in the whole world." And they say, "You got it, kid." And they say, "Oh, you and your parents come back for this meeting." And you sit down and they'd be like, "It's gonna be $1,500 to make your kid famous." And I wanted it still. I'm like, "We got $1,500, right?" And we did not. And I would get a little disappointed, But theater helped me like remember that I could do it and like other aspects that don't have to be, film and TV, especially on like a Disney scale. And took me a minute though.
Yeah, and I started definitely in theater and in musical theater because that was what was around. That's what, as a kid, I could do. And then as I was going into college and looking for college majors and such, I was starting to realize that that might be a way into learning about film and learning about film acting. And so that was when I really started to be like, wait, I could actually do some on-screen stuff. Because I too, as a kid, I don't know any child who performed who didn't want to be a Disney Channel kid.
That
Man,
seems
it's so
that's
real of an experience. My sister, I just had a birthday, and my sister posted a picture of her and I. And I talked to Layla, like I showed her the picture, and she's like, "Oh my God, what a Disney Channel face you had." I'm like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, I was
well,
ready for it."
in the craziest turn of events, my younger sister, who is also an actress, she actually got to be on a Disney Plus show
Oh, wow.
as a kid, and I've never been more jealous. I was at the time in my 20s and I was like, Margot, you better enjoy this. This is crazy.
Seriously, though, like you better live it up.
That's cool. Hopefully she has a good experience with it. That's great. So how did you both really get serious about acting? I mean, and not, not to say that even just being in shows isn't serious, but really decided that this was something you really wanted to do.
I think rejection helped me like figure it out real fast. Like I just remember being so discouraged when I thought I was like, a part of a, like a company, especially at the youth theater. I just thought I was like in this in crowd, and I so badly wanted to be a part of it like long term. And when I first got like a rejection letter that I wasn't being cast in the show, I was truthfully ready to just like end it all there. But shout out to my parents for their support and teaching me like, to continue the course. If I really want to do something, I should do it. And so I think around that time, I got very serious about it.
Yeah, I feel like part of getting serious was as I decided to go to college and was looking at what like options I had, realizing the option I wanted was to go to college for acting and for something film related. But I actually think it was over the summers of high school, I would go to a summer camp, and it was the first time I was with, and it was a theater summer camp. And it was the first time I was with other kids who seemed really serious about acting. And like, it wasn't, you weren't made fun of for trying really hard or for caring. And I think that was the first time I was like, oh, I really do care about this. Like, I am right here with everyone else, really wanting this thing.
That's awesome. Now it's you're both, what they refer to as working actors. You guys have kind of day jobs. What's it like trying to balance kind of what you want to do with what you have to do?
I mean, I can take it from my point of view. It's hard. I think it really, I feel very lucky to be in New York City, which I think if I didn't go to a college in New York City, I don't know if I would have been able to really move myself there. But it's really hard. It's a lot of, I do a lot of random gig work. I work at a children's theater part time. I babysit. I take random other, like if friends are doing projects, I'll take stage manager jobs or design jobs or producer and help that. But it's a lot of taking what comes my way so that when a project like Bloodsuckers of Bushwick comes up, I can say, great, I can clear that weekend. I would love to be in it. I'd love to be a part of it. But yeah, it's a lot of balancing.
Yeah, I really like that you said that, Kay, because I am a server and a bartender like in my regular life. And I just think some days that's like some of the greatest performances people will get from me. But on top of that, it's just kind of like I have like been with a talent agency for 10 years now at this point. Like I think this year is the official 10th year, and I have been on plenty of auditions with them. And I've only started booking so many like jobs with them in the past couple of years, but like I am willing to accept, mostly like any type of work that will like put me in the room of like what I would like to be doing. And it's kind of hard sometimes. I mean, I would choose to be like at my regular job, my regular work, and be making, good money that's better for like my living situation. But sometimes I do think it's like easier to be like right there, and it's like field of work that I would like to be in. So it's kind of hard to find the balance, but I think most actors that really, or most people that just want to be in the acting world would like choose to be in a room rather than not being, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of those things, people don't think about, kind of with their favorite musicians and performers and authors and whatever artists in general, that they have to come from somewhere that, like that, the Beatles, Oasis, all these people had to play gig band like shows, had to play like opener act shows. And like you guys have to do kind of show, movies and anything you can to get your face out there and your performance. I put on a short film festival and I see all these movies, and it's crazy to see the how much passion and time and effort is put into these things that so, few people will see, but it's all for kind of the love of doing it, but and also the hope that the right person will see it, and that'll lead to the next
Yeah,
gig.
and I think on top of that, the piggyback, I think, not only hoping that the right person will see it, the hope that you're like working with people that will like that you can work with in the future, or like that you're like kind of part of a team that could like make future projects, and sometimes that's more special than like hoping that somebody will see it,
I can absolutely see that. I would think that's got to be a part of it, because then it becomes a job.
Yeah, right. Like you want to make sure like the passion is still behind it, and like the connections and the networking is still behind it. And yeah, I mean, most jobs that I take is just simply because I would hope that I am still in the room of something I would like to do, like long term, and that I'm making connections that will be long term on top of that.
Absolutely. Are there certain types of roles that you guys like to play more than, others, or either roles that you've wanted to try but haven't, the type of role that you haven't gotten a chance to yet?
I mean, I know I've gotten lucky that I've gotten to play a number of horror related. I've been in a lot of horror short films and that sort of genre short film. And I think that's very fun. And I'm not a big horror watcher myself, but I really like being in those projects because they just tend to be so creative. You tend to get put in situations you never would be otherwise. And so I'd love to do some more of that. But then I have a lot of like I would love to do something really comedic and really silly. And yeah, I think that'd be so fun to do like a multi-cam situation because it's kind of rare these days to see that. I only see it on like Abbott Elementary.
Love Abbott. I love that.
It's so good.
It's so good. I feel like I've been fortunate enough to play a lot of comedic roles. I think I'm just like naturally such like a funny person, and so like I was looking forward to playing, a character that's a part of a horror because it's one of my favorite genres, honestly. I was a kid that like couldn't sit through like horror movies. I mean, I would scare myself if I like turned a horror movie on. But I would still
Yes.
do it. I would still do it. And so I'd like to explore that a lot more. And I would also like to explore a little bit more of like romance types. I don't think that that's something that's like a part of my like color as an actor yet. And it's not to say that I can't do it, but I don't think society is ready for a stocky black man to be like the love interest. And so that's something I'm looking forward to.
Now we can, we'll get into the kind of the meat of the matter. Tell me about your experiences working on Bloodsuckers of Bushwick.
Okay, you first.
Me first. It
You
was
want to be.
so wonderful. I mean, I've known Layla since college, and she really, Layla being our writer, director extraordinaire, our co-writer with David. But it's so often that I'm on a set as an actor, and it's really like showing up, and you just kind of do what they ask you to do, you slot yourself in, and then you disappear, and maybe you hear about the project months later once they get it all together. But I was able to come on as a producer in this. It was all of like Layla's good friends and her community. And so it's all people I kind of know or have met through her who are just really good people. And so it was so fun from like the process of planning everything and getting everyone from Flint to New York for filming and getting our New York contingent to Flint to film. And like all of that was really special to actually be a part of, because that is not usually where I get to have any say. And then the actual filming was so cool. And it's kind of what David was saying about working with good people. And you're like hopeful that on a project, you kind of make a new community. And it was such a good community there that like now I have this large new group of friends who I feel just excited to work creatively with in the future.
Awesome. What about you, David?
Yeah. I think Layla first reached out about the project maybe late last year. And I still don't think at the time when she first like, was telling me about it and offering me a role that I understood the gravity of what I was going to experience. But I mean, we have made she would always come back from New York like for the summers, and we would film. And I mean, we've worked together in multiple capacities, but nothing like, prepared me for like her flying me out to New York. And it just felt more intact with like the story that we were telling, where I am, playing the character from Flint to New York. And just to see her grow as a director and introduce me to, all these people that I've never thought that I would meet in my life. And make these connections and, move to multiple locations to film certain parts. I don't think I could have asked for anything better, honestly. And just to play a role that I have been looking forward to playing, for so long in my acting career, it just felt a little too much like a dream, where I was like, maybe this isn't real. But I mean, it was all so great. I got to meet people like Kate, for example, who I think we were hitting it off like right off the bat, like, hey, like, let's laugh, let's get to know each other, let's talk. And then we started planning, oh, maybe you'll come to New York again and we'll go sing some Broadway songs. Like,
I'm ready for a tour of Flint. I was like, I need the hometown tour.
oh, yes. Oh, yes. You're talking to somebody that will show you what I know, and it'll be a good thing. But yeah, I mean, such a special experience. And I got to celebrate my birthday out there. It just turned into like one huge trip that I never prepared for.
That's awesome. Now, David, I wanted to jump in a little bit deeper because you have known Layla for a while. What's it been like kind of seeing her growth and being able to kind of work with her as she kind of grows as a filmmaker?
I mean, I don't think I've learned a lot of lessons if I didn't keep in touch with her. Like, I remember when she was even just first moving out there, and we would talk about, I mean, she taught me what survivor's guilt was, and I didn't know, to the extent of what she was getting at. But like, if it was just to the extent of like, I would call her about like what I was going through back home, and she would be like, well, this is what I'm going through, but sometimes I feel more bad that I'm not there to help you through your journey that you're on right now. And it just took some time, and she would write me these postcards that I still hold like to this day, and she would send me these books in the mail, and we would just still always make sure we were talking. And I just think that is very special in the grand scheme of things, as far as like if I hadn't maintained that kind of relationship and got to see her grow, you know, even past, I was with her, you know, just a little side story. I was with her when she got her acceptance letter to NYU.
Oh, wow.
And we jumped up and down in this library at our high school. We went to a high school that was inside of the University U of M Flint. And we jumped up and down and screamed. And that's like a quiet place, you know, you don't want to be too loud. But I just remember feeling like so excited for her. And I don't think in that moment either one of us prepared for like emotionally what we would be going through, like apart from each other. You know, but we always just kept in touch. And so then for her to come back home always and we would film, like I mentioned, that was always sweet. But then to see her now, like when we just shot this, it just felt so like I don't even know how to put it into words. I just kept reminding her like that I was so proud of her. Just to see like one of your childhood friends like grow in the field that we both were growing in. And you know, and make connections where like even the camera, I'm like looking at the camera that we're shooting on. I'm like, oh, this isn't like just a Nikon that we used to film stuff on, you know, or having a boom operator or having, you know, a mic even hooked up to my like pants. And I just, yeah, that's my girl. I love her for life. And I just never let her forget like how proud I was of her being able to put all of that together.
That is awesome. Now, Kate, I had a question for you. This, you're a producer on the film. What was that experience like?
It was really interesting. I have a little bit of producer knowledge from I for many years assisted a woman who was a producer and would had a production company. But especially on a project that is independent, that's smaller, it's so kind of ragtag, like we all just are pitching in to get the project made and to do what we want to do with it. And it felt very, that's always what I like about doing theater, is it feels very communally, everyone is adding in what their skills are and what they need to do to get a play on stage. And this felt very much like theater to me in that way, where it's a group of us who were all kind of just taking the tasks as they came. So I got to do, there was some organizing I'm doing, but then I was like, I'm not great at math. I should not be helping you with finances, so that could be pushed to somebody else. And now in the post, our post-production phase, I'm getting to help do a lot of the fundraising perks. So we did our fundraising on Indiegogo, and we had a bunch of donors give money, and for X amount of money, we will send them like t-shirts and tote bags and a zine. And so I'm getting to help design some of those. I'm getting to use some of my illustration visual art skills and make the zine. So it's been very fun and very like it feels like a very team effort.
That's awesome. Now, when this finally comes out, what do you hope people get out of the movie?
David, I'll let you take that one first.
You know what I hope people get is a different version of the, you know, what I have in my toolkit as an actor. And I just want people to mostly get why, you know, like Kate mentioned, as far as like the fundraising part, why I was pushing so hard for like the Flint community to like support this project. You know, I just think maybe in that aspect, originally I wasn't getting the most support. They did start showing out right at like the end of the Indiegogo, but I just want people to remember that I am still here right now, you know. I went to New York to go film that, but I will still do projects that will be around the city. And so I want people to get a sense of like what is still happening around the city compared to like what they're normal to, you know, and even look at like how my closest friend Layla, you know, moved from the city, but she still has the city inside of her and she is still a product of the city and she's getting to do things in a bigger city. And just remember that it's not always about like what's happening, like right in people's faces. But sometimes I think when it comes to Flint specifically, they kind of focus on like people's achievements and accolades, you know, and fields that aren't acting. And I just hope they get a different sense of like what it can be. You know, you should support anybody doing anything successful that come from the city.
Yeah, and I think that's like one of the most exciting things is this short is giving kind of a taste of of really Layla's identity, but of this Flint and New York City mashup. And that it's in so many ways is such a, from what I understand, I can't claim to be from Flint, but such a Flint-coded film. And that's being a short film that's just kind of getting, just touching on it. And so I think it's a really cool taste of what could be to come and future films that I know Layla wants to make. And I also think it's a really cool look at a side of New York City that you don't always get to see. And you so often you get the rom-com New York City or like the Gotham New York City energy, but you don't get to often see kind of the, not the real New York City, but the gritty side of New York that is the reality for so many people moving here from other places and just trying to survive and figure it out.
Yes. And if I can just piggyback on that for like one little sentiment, it'll be a chance for people to experience the very cliche saying of like everything that glitters ain't gold. Because you will have people that will live in a small city like Flint, and there's many cities like Flint all around as far as like the capacity of people. But just like, you would think somebody from Flint will go and experience life in New York and have such a good time. And you get to see that sometimes it's just not like that. People experience hardships no matter what you might be thinking they're going through. And yeah, I really hope, honestly, the most that people will see that.
Fantastic. I wanted to ask, since you've both kind of been in the film industry in various kind of capacities, what would you like to see change, kind of with how things are done?
I just would like to see a little more inclusive.
Inclusivity?
There we go. I'm
I
so
got you.
thank you, thank you, thank you. I was thinking about that word earlier and I could not say it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just very rare that you get to see, on camera, like a cast of people that don't all look the same. And sometimes it's okay to support and celebrate like a cast where people all look the same. But I don't think people even focus on the behind the scenes, and I just would like to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, David, fully. Like, diversity is almost too light a word because it's really, not to bring it back, but inclusivity. I would love to see in front of the camera more diverse stories, not just the same story with like a person of color to the side. Like, I'd love to see like a TV lineup and every show looks very different. And same behind the camera. And then I'd love it. I think the thing that, and I think Layla and Peace, when they were on the podcast, talked a bit about this, but the way that as you get more professional in film and TV, the way those sets are organized is so hierarchical and so
Yes.
like stratified. And you really, I think, start to lose the humanity of it and lose relationships and the love of creativity and making stuff. And so I think just like, upholding that as we make more and more things is what I would hope we could all work towards. And I like Bloodsuckers is a great example of that, where it really was an experience where I was like, oh, you can do this a different way. You can do this with friends and all caring about a project.
Yes. And it's back to what I was kind of saying earlier. Like, I don't think, like, I feel like I struggled with this even when I was in college and I went to school for theater performance. I never felt sometimes like, secure in the fact that, like, I am not your, like, normal leading guy. I'm a bigger black guy who comes from, an urban community, and I just don't think people were ready for like the talent that I had to offer. And even as an adult, when I'm still auditioning, I don't think they're even ready then. And so I would like to see a little bit more of that in the sense of like diversity on projects. I think everybody deserves a chance to be like seen and heard, and everybody's stories deserve to be told, and everybody deserves to be a part of the team. And yeah, I just would like to see way more of that. I don't think it happens at all, and it definitely does not happen in like the current environment that I'm in.
Would either of you want to get more involved, like as writers, or for David, like as a producer, or make your own film someday?
Most definitely. I struggle with like my writing skills when it comes to projects. And I mean, it just Layla poured into that so much with this project
Yeah, I was
because
gonna say David is the co-writer on Bloodsuckers because he contributed so much to the story.
And I was contributing more about like originally, if I could just be transparent, it was more about like it was servicing like my character the most. Like I was focusing on that more. But then I thought about like how like, through this character that I'm playing, I could probably help in the aspect of like what else is being written. And I think that's when the co-writing credit came. But I don't think that was originally Layla and I's plan. And she actually offered it, which was really sweet of her because I didn't think that I was doing anything. I was kind of just being a little, what's the word? What's the word? I was being a little nonchalant about what I was offering. I was being a little like not braggadocious. I didn't want to do that. And she helped me like embrace it more, And so I would like to see more of that first. And then I would love to see me producing and directing. I can't wait to direct something. That's what I'm looking the most forward to.
And yeah, I would definitely love to dip into the writing world and directing world. I've gotten to do a little bit of producing, and I always said growing up, as I was figuring out what I wanted to do, I was like, I think I'll be happiest if I can just have a bunch of friends and we're all doing creative stuff, and I can just kind of jump in different roles and be an actor in this project and a writer over here and produce this project. And so I kind of think that's still my hope, is that I can just have my fingers in a bunch of pies all the time.
Fantastic. Do you guys know if there is a timeline when the film might come out? I know you're it's still being worked on, but I didn't know if there was kind of a target.
No, I don't think anybody really knows. I think,
I know this could be outdated information, but I know that Layla was hoping to at least get something together cut by the fall. I don't know if that will come to be, but I know that was talked about because it is a kind of spooky film.
Awesome. Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, it'll when it comes, but yeah, fingers crossed that it can get out in time.
Yeah,
Now,
I'll just tell you, even if it's the fall, Chris, I want to see it tomorrow. That's how I literally like we recently got like a little bit of like stills from the project, and even when we were still filming, I was watching some of the playback, and I'm like, oh my, I just want to see it right away. And that's the difference between film and theater, film and stage. You get like the instant gratification from like when you're doing a play, or a live performance. And when you film something, man, I mean, you just gotta sit back and wait. And that is the part that you probably like don't like the most.
No, I can understand. You're kind of everything's taken out of your hands, and you're just kind of you're along for the ride. So I totally get it. Well, I thank you both so much for joining me. Where can folks find, maybe movies you've been in, or your I know, like Kate, you have a few different kind of offerings for folks. But I know if David, if you did, like, but where can people kind of track you down?
I have a 2021, 2022 film called Block Party that I am featured in. That's streaming. Like, honestly, I feel like I just saw recently that it's like free on YouTube with ads. Really great project. One of my first biggest projects that I booked. And it's a whole comedy about Juneteenth celebration. So people can see me there. They can see me in some credit union commercials that I shot for like the local people around here. And they can see me in Meyer and the Detroit Tigers collaboration commercials. I shot two of them a couple of years ago now. Or mostly, we shot them 2 years ago, but they just started airing last year. So if you go to a Tigers game, you will see me in these commercials, which is pretty cool to me.
Awesome.
So cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping for some residuals this year too. But yeah, that's mostly it. And if you want to hear me sing, which people won't see me doing in that movie, you can follow me on Instagram at dag.x.
Yes. You can find me. I have my more acting performing website, which is just www.kateandersonsong.com. And that's my same, that's my Instagram handle, that's all the social media. And then my other thing that I do is visual art and poetry, and that you can find on the Kate Pages. And that's also a website and my Instagram. And I also do some singing on there, which David and I were doing a good amount of singing on set in between takes.
Yeah, I missed that already, Kate. Honestly.
Well, thank you both so much for joining me. I really enjoyed this. I hope you did as well, and I look forward to seeing your movie.
Same here,
Thank
Chris.
you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you
Guys,
so much.
you're welcome. Take care.
You
Have a good
too.
rest of your
You
day.
too.
Thanks. I want to thank Kate Anderson Song and David A. Guster for joining me for this podcast. That was a fantastic discussion. I am really excited to see Bloodsuckers of Bushwick. I hope you are too. When it comes out, I will make sure to let everybody know. I'm sure it'll hit the festival circuit. So if you get a chance to go out to festivals, like horror festivals and stuff, I would definitely keep your eyes peeled for when it does come out. And I thank you, friend. As always, you can find all my stuff at spookychris.com, and you can find all of my books on amazon.com. I will talk to you soon. Take care.